Good afternoon. I think it's impressive that you guys stayed until the 4:30 session. It was like a herd that was mobilizing going out as we were coming in. Okay, yes, and my co-I on the study is Dr. Carolyn Murdaugh, and Dr. Alice Passvogel is our data manager. And this is an instrument that we revised, moving it from an individual level to a family level, and the psychometric testing that we did of the family self-efficacy for diabetes management. And this is the obligatory disclosure form slide. Okay, type 2 diabetes. I work with Mexican persons, adults of Mexican origin in the U.S.-Mexico border region, primarily the Arizona-Sonora border region, who have type 2 diabetes and with their family members. And indeed, diabetes management in this culture is a family affair, and all family members influence the management of type 2 diabetes. And self-efficacy is a major determinant of type 2 diabetes self-management behaviors. There are reliable and valid scales that measure individual diabetes self-efficacy. The particular instrument we use is out of the Stanford group with some of the work that Kate Lorig has done. But we found no instruments available to measure diabetes family self-efficacy. So we revised the instrument, and we are testing the psychometric properties of the family self-efficacy for diabetes scale. It's an 8-item Likert-type scale, 5-point response ranges, not at all confident, which is the 1, to totally confident, which is the highest score of 5. The mean score is calculated, and the higher scores reflect greater family self-efficacy. So, in terms of methods, the data were collected from a study, a current study. It's a 2-group experimental design. It's being conducted with Mexican-American adults with type 2 diabetes and their family members who reside in the Arizona-Sonora border region. We use baseline data for this analysis from the following behavioral measures related to self-efficacy, nutrition and physical activity behaviors, family support, and social integration. The sample for the psychometric testing was 100 family members, and the analysis plan includes internal consistency for reliability and construct and concurrent validity. Okay, in terms of construct validity, we use the principal components of the Obelman rotation. For concurrent validity, we tested correlations with the 4 scales that I just previously addressed. The social integration scale has 3 subscales, and they're listed there. The family support and behavioral checklist we used, and the family support for physical activity has 2 subscales, and the family support for healthy eating also has 2 subscales. The characteristics of our sample population, the mean age was not quite 46 years. The majority were female, and these are, remember, family members of persons with type 2 diabetes. Over half were married, and just a little over half have less than a high school education. 39% have a paying job, so that gives you a sense of the socioeconomic status and as in terms of everything that goes with that in terms of the health disparities that we see in the population. 28% with income less than $10,000 and 19% with income more than $25,000. So, in terms of reliability of the family self-efficacy for diabetes scale, we had a good Chromebox alpha, indicating, of course, that the items hang together well as a unit, and we would expect that. The original scale is an established scale. The item-to-item correlations, you would expect to see a range between 0.3 to 0.7. This indicates that we have some items that are not well correlated. The item-to-total correlations are strong. And in terms of construct validity, in our factor analysis, we used the principal components of the Obelman rotation. We had identified two factors, self-efficacy for supporting healthy behaviors, we called it, and this is really the first five items that I'll show you in a minute on the factor analysis that primarily loaded around eating and physical activity. And the second factor, which our team titled self-efficacy for general health support, but I think I'm going to call it something different. And it explains 72% of the variance. When we discovered the two factors, I thought, I was working with our statistician, and she said, well, wait a second. I don't remember seeing two factors when you originally wrote the proposal and you talked about the instruments. And I said, that's because they weren't reported. I went back to the literature, I took a look at it, indeed they weren't reported. So I called Kate Lorig at Stanford and I said, Kate, we just did a factor analysis on the family level instrument, and we have two factors. I said, on the original self-efficacy for diabetes scale, it's not reported in the literature, the factor analysis. And she said, we never did one. We're very interested in your findings. These are the factor loadings. These are the first five items that loaded on factor one, which I said is primarily around healthy eating and physical activity. And then factor two, and I really see that as more of around how to manage something out of the norm, sort of how to manage an adverse event inclusive of illness, and also how to be confident about not allowing diabetes in your family member to control their life, because many of them become so obsessed and derailed by the complexity of managing this chronic disease. In terms of concurrent validity, these are the correlations with the four scales that I told you about, and the subscales, which of those subscales that we had correlations with. Now, while the correlations are significant, you can see that they're not strong. So the psychometric testing is brief, and our conclusions are that the family self-efficacy for diabetes scale is a reliable and valid instrument for public health nurses, certified diabetes educators, researchers, to measure family self-efficacy for diabetes management. And again, we're really encouraging future testing of this instrument, especially with other subgroups, because you know our focus has been Mexican-American adults in a specific geopolitical region. Any questions? Yes.
We've been using some established scales with Central American Hispanic as opposed to Mexican-American.
Uh-huh.
And they're having a lot of difficulty with lipid-type scales.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. They don't want it to be on the range. Did you find any issues with that?
We found issues with some other instruments that, one in particular that was a 10-item range, and we worked with the statistician to get it down to a 5-item range because that just blew up their minds. That was in my pilot testing. But you're correct, and I've seen that in the literature, and we have excellent data collectors that, of course, are bilingual, bicultural, and in our very robust and comprehensive training of our data collectors, we have everything manualized, and we go through with them over and over again their responses on how to help people when they have difficulty with the range. So we have like almost a 3 or 4 level of, well, which comes closest, which is the best representation of the way you experience this. So we have a number of sort of probes, if you will, that we use with them to help bring it in. And the data collectors are not saying that they're having difficulty with it.
And it sounds like, are your data collectors reading the tools to them, or are they giving them the tools to read for themselves?
Both, depending on the participant.
Okay.
So So when we do extensive training, absolutely, yes, we do extensive training on how to administer, how the data collector is to administer the instrument, or if the participants say that they're comfortable completing the instrument, all the nonverbal, and how they need to jump in and make comment of, it seems that perhaps you're having difficulty with this one, is that correct? Might I help you with it? Would it help if I read it to you? Yeah. We have it in both English and Spanish, but the majority of our participants prefer to answer in Spanish. And you know, that's a good question. I should have had that in here. What percent of the 100 family members chose to answer the data collection packet in English? Because what we're seeing is when the family member is younger, like the daughter, the niece, the granddaughter, then they're oftentimes preferring to complete it in English versus Spanish. So thank you for asking that question. I'll go back and take a look at that. Any other questions?
Marilyn, question and then a comment. Would you consider writing additional items for that previously undetected subscale? You've only got, what, three items?
Yes, only three items.
That would up your reliability, number one, and make that a more robust subscale.
Yeah.
It would take a little work.
Yeah, that's a good
idea.
And
the other comment is based on your dialogue with the audience here. If you have enough people who responded face-to-face that you can compare it with the people who mm-hmm. responded and took it themselves, mm-hmm. that would give you some maybe insightful information mm-hmm. about how do these two methods work.
Mm-hmm. And we intend to look at that in our analysis because we do capture, we have on the front page of the data collection packet, whether it was self-administered mm-hmm. or administered by the data collector.
So, might be a little eye-opener.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else? If you're looking at family self-efficacy for diabetes, I'd love for you to use the scale with your population.
Yeah,
and you too, Alex.
I'm trying to get part of this. We're doing a genomics analysis right now, but we enroll family trials.
Great. Thank you.